over in Genesis chapter number 1. I'm glad we've got a church that our children can come and know a little bit about the worship of the Lord. We're raising a generation that knows nothing about the Holy Spirit of God. They know about the drama teams and about all of the magicians and the magics of the hour. What we need is some churches just rear back and praise Him and preach the Word of God without apology. And so I realize you can love people, but you've got to take a stand of what you are. And I've done took a stand of what I am. I'm not here to please Baptists. I'm here to lead a people to God. And so if you want to go, you come along. If not, you stay in the boat with the rest of that mullygub crowd. I ain't got time for you. And neither does our church. Amen. I'm just in my heart this morning. I'm tired of religionists. I am a Baptist, but honey, Baptist ain't got me this morning. I praise Him and I love. Ain't you glad you can go to a place that's a little different? Not locked down in tradition, and you ain't gotta do this and two songs and Aunt Sally birthday cake and go home. Ain't you glad? Ain't you glad this morning you got a church you can go to and praise His good name? Well, Genesis chapter number 1, in the beginning, God. You may be seated this morning. I want to say that's enough for me. In the beginning, God. I want to tell you today, friend, in the ending, it'll still be God. And in between, it's still going to be God. Because in the beginning, God. Not from the beginning, but in the beginning, He's always been God. Preacher, where'd God come from? Where God lives, all I know. Amen. God's bigger than what we are. He's bigger than your problem. He's bigger than your circumstance. Nothing's never took our God by surprise. Ain't you glad that in the beginning of all of this, there is a God that spoke not only the beginning, but He spoke the ending. Nothing has took Him by surprise. Boy, I appreciate the Word of God this morning. I seen somebody look cross-eyed at me and got me mean this morning. And so I just thought I'd give you something to talk about around the dinner table today. But this morning in Genesis chapter number 1, you'll notice there is the work of the sovereign. The work of the sovereign. It was a holy work. The Bible said, and God created. Now, honey, it's not about Darwin's theory today, but it is about a sovereign God that sets upon the circuits, above the circuits of the wind, upon a universe that's ruling and reigning as He sees fit. You know, I found out about this God of the Bible. Well, we don't check in with Him to see if it's all right. God does as it pleases Him. We see the work of the sovereign. It was a holy work. And then He said this in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It was a handiwork. Now God created. He did not make anything. He created it. In order to make something, it means that you have to take something to bring forth to have the finished product. But God took nothing out of nothing and made something. And He created it by His handiwork. I love what the psalmist David had to say in Psalms 19. And in verse number 1, he talks about God's handiwork. Isn't it amazing of the handiwork of God? He said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. That word handiwork simply means His workmanship. How could anybody look around and think there is not a God? Oh my, the heavens declare His handiwork. The work of this sovereign is a holy work. It is a handiwork. But I believe with all of my heart, it is a heavenly work. God done something from the heaven. He spoke you and I into existence. The Bible said in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 19, He said that the conscience of our heart would let us know that there is a God because it was a heavenly work. Now, preacher, How will sinners stand before God? The Bible said in Romans 1 and verse number 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. There are no atheists. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world, they are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You say, well, I'll stand before God and take my chances. Friend, you'll stand there without excuse that day. There is the light of creation. Man can look around and see that God, by His handiwork, by His heavenly work and His holy work, there was a God that spoke this into existence. Young people, I don't care what your school books have to say. This is the divine, authoritative Word of God. It will stand when this world's on fire. Hey, when that liberal teacher tells you that you evolved from a monkey, you can say, oh, no, no, no. I was created in the image of my God. It was a heavenly work. It was a holy work, and it was a handy work. You say, well, preacher, what's going on in me about this light of creation? Not only do you have the light of creation, but you have that light of conscience. Oh, God has put a God conscience in us. I realize that conscience can be seared. You better not go by your conscience about what to do is wrong or right. You better go by the Word of God, because it will steer your conscience in the right way. But friend, no man's never been born without the light of conscience in him that there is a God. I'm glad it's a God on the throne this morning. Oh man, you say, well, preacher, when did God know about us? In Psalms 139 and verse number 12, you'll see this. Give this to the abortionist of the day. He said, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. When you was in your mother's womb, you became a living soul. Boy, in America, we're killing babies by the thousands. We say to the babies born, they're not alive. Friend, this Bible said in your mother's womb, God knew you. You became a living soul when God breathed the breath of life in you. There are babies by the thousands that's murdered in America today. You say, what do you believe about abortion? I believe, honey, God's the giver of life, and man will stand before Him one day and give an account of their sins. Oh my, thank God that He is the giver of life this morning. I think abortion's out of the pit of hell today. We got a bunch of liberal people running our country. Oh, how the Christians need to stand and say, dear God brought life, let there be life. You say, well, what if the child? What if the child isn't all there? That's God's business, friend. God's business. And oh my, we see this work of the sovereign in the beginning. And then secondly, not only do you notice in your Bibles there the work of the sovereign, there was the wooing of the Spirit. He said in Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And here it is, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We'll notice, first of all, there is the mention of the Spirit of God. You know, He's taken out of a lot of churches this morning. Matter of fact, most churches are running without Him. Oh my, ain't you glad you're in a place this morning where the Holy Ghost has freedom to move? I thank the Lord for every time He stirs your heart, you ought to move. He's impressing you to do something, you ought to do it. As long as it lines up according to the Word of God, it'll be all right. It'll be just fine. Amen. As long as I can understand you, everything will be all right. Amen. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God moved in those days. Aren't you glad He's still moving in the day and the hour that we live? Where would we be without the Spirit of God? We see the wooing of the Spirit. We see His mention. And then the Bible said, and He moved upon the face of the waters. We not only see His mention, but His moving. I looked up that word moved. It means to flutter or to shake. Boy, I'm glad He still moves in and shakes things up. Amen. Boy, how boring it would be without the Spirit of God. Well, I wouldn't even go to church without the Spirit of God. How boring it'd be to go to the house of God and no Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will lead and guide you into all truth. Honey, don't tell me you'll have the same service Sunday after Sunday with the Spirit of God. He has differences. He has order. He has different administrations and operations. The Holy Ghost will move in our services because He knows what we need this morning. There's sometimes we don't have preaching. You know why? Because He's doing the preaching. Sometimes He uses the preaching to do the moving. But we see the mentioning of the Holy Ghost. We see the moving of the Holy Ghost. Notice nothing was going on until the Holy Ghost began to move. Then here's a divine Bible principle. Not only the mention of the Holy Ghost and the moving of the Holy Ghost, but look at the ministry of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters, and here it is in verse 3. And God said, God never speaks till the Spirit moves. God never speaks till the Spirit moves. Can I show you a divine illustration this morning? Turn over in your Bibles in the book of Matthew. I wasn't feeling like preaching, but I feel like doing a little preaching this morning. Matthew chapter number 3. You remember Jesus came to the Baptist preacher downtown. He found the independent, fundamental, God-loving, Christ-exalting Baptist preacher. You say, how come you're a Baptist? Because I believe we're closer to the doctrines of God than anything that's a-going this morning. You listen to me this morning. Baptists were shouting for any other crowd come along the scene, friend. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You say, I don't like that shouting. You better not go to heaven then. You're going to be real disappointed. And so the Bible said this. He said, verse 15, Jesus answered, said to him, suffer it to be so now. For thus it become thus to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Jesus, when he was baptized, watch this, wasn't no sprinkling business going on neither. Went up straightway out of the water. Amen. It wasn't none of this going on. They got down in the water. Immersed. Watch this. He went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens was opened unto him. Here it is. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove lighting on him. And a voice from heaven saying, God never speaks till the Spirit moves. You know, some a preacher can say all he wants to you, but nothing's going to happen to the Spirit of God moves, and then He's going to speak to you. Aren't you glad in your dark hour the Holy Ghost come to you one day? Shook you in your sins, offered you life, and you reached up by faith, and God done a great work in your life. And you think I'm going to sit there and let a Baptist crowd knock my shout out, honey? I'm glad the Spirit of God lives in my heart. I'm glad He's in our church. I'm glad He's in our Bible. Thank God for the moving of the Holy Ghost. Oh, how we need the Holy Ghost back in our... We live in a generation that children know nothing about the moving of the Holy Ghost. Friend, years ago, in Baptist churches, they'd raise the windows. People would look in. Old men of God would get up and preach. Sinners would be moved by the power of the Holy Ghost. Houses would be packed by sinners praying and asking God to save them. Men, women, boys and girls were filled with the Holy Ghost. Go out and plow a mule all week and come back to the house of God on Sunday with the right kind of attitude for the glory of God. Now we got Cadillacs and Rolls Royces, got suits dying by the dozen, and we too sorry to come to the house of God. Boy, I tell you, you think I don't get stirred. We got anything and everything we need. We've done got so lazy, we don't need God no more. Oh, we need the Spirit of God moving back in our services and in our homes and in our hearts. You say, well, I don't like it, preacher. Well, leave me alone. I'll take the Spirit of God any day. You don't need a Robert's Rule of Order to run your church. You need the Spirit of God, what you need. Hey, when you've got laws man wrote, you don't need the Spirit of God. What's going on in your church? I have no idea. All I can tell you is I want the Holy Ghost to lead us. I wish He'd move in this place today in such a way you'd all get embarrassed. You walk in and you start suit and your nose stuck up the ceiling. Why, if it would have rained, you'd have drowned it this morning. But, oh, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God, He's wonderful this morning. And without Him, we're nothing today. The Spirit of God moved and then God spoke. In the beginning, you'll see there is the work of the sovereign. There is the wooing of the Spirit. But in Genesis 3, I'll remind you, there is the wiles of Satan. He said in Genesis chapter number 3, and verse number, watch my voice go to dying down on me now when I go to talking about the devil. I think it's time to stop and get a drink of water. Amen. The wiles of Satan. Have you ever noticed every time there's an operation of heaven, there's an opposition of hell? Somebody said, we was doing real good. We started coming to Liberty Baptist Church. Isn't that the truth? You know that's right. But all you learned was about how old Aunt Sally was. Who the oldest mother was. Mother's Day, we're going to sing about one of the most young'uns. It's okay to have them days. Have it somewhere under a picnic. Let me go and hit them grave decorating days in May. When you may come and you may not come. The month of May kills a Baptist preacher. Because you may come and you probably won't come. Ain't it something where they get up and burn candles for them that's died and gone on? Wonder what Jesus think. Didn't the Bible say let the dead bury the dead? Some of y'all look at me like this right here. Your problem is you never had a man of God lead you to God. You've had a little old man with little sissy handcuffs on, little old lace around his sleeves, and just doing as a bunch of deacons told him to. Honey, let me tell you, there's a sovereign God in this belt that deserves our praise and our honor and our glory. We ain't got time to resurrect dead folk around here. We started this thing on preaching, we'll end it on preaching. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen. You'll watch them. They'll come in with their cigarettes and their hats on, and they'll line up from here to the courthouse because Aunt Sally was buried down there at the graveyard. But they won't come any other time. Let me have that crowd. I'd love to preach to them a little bit. That's exactly right. Get up and burn candles. I love my mom and dad. I love my grandmama. But honey, they don't live their life. I'm trying to get a people to God so they can live forever. Hallelujah. We don't need to resurrect grandma and grandpa. Well, you've hurt my feelings. I done told you walked in the wrong place this morning. We not here to pet you. We're here to teach you about the Word of God, how you can live right out yonder on this side of the graveyard. That's most of your problem now. All you know is what Grandpa said, and he was clueless about the Word of God. Come out of places where they even vote to put gas in a van. Well, run out, push it down the road then. The wiles of Satan. Ain't it amazing? In an amazing way, the wiles of Satan. Every time there's been an opening of heaven, there's always an opposition of hell. The devil hates what's going on in this church. He hates you sitting there this morning. Oh my, the wiles of Satan. Watch this now in Genesis chapter 3. He said in verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yeah, God said ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now here you'll see he's a looking devil. Boy, and I'm going to tell you, he's not a running no place. He's just walking around seeking whom he made about. He ain't got to get in no hurry because most of us run to where he is. Honey, you ain't got to hunt trouble. Trouble will find you. You better do right and live what this Bible says live. Keep yourself under subjection of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Boy, the wiles of Satan comes along now in the beginning. He's a looking devil. He's looking for you this morning. He's looking for anybody that'll give him time. A lot of you, he wouldn't know nothing if you didn't tell him everything. He can't be in all places at all time. He's not all-knowing like our God. The reason the devil knows our problem, because we tell him all the time. Oh my, it's amazing to me. I hear a lot of you say, well, I know, preacher, the devil's telling me this. Well, stop right there and pop yourself on the jaws. Well, you know it's the devil. Quit listening to him. I know it's the devil, but no wonder you're in the cellar. He's not going to encourage you. He's not going to tell you to get your babies up, get them dressed, come to the house of God. He's going to tell you nobody likes you. Why are visitors sitting here this morning? He done told you this is the craziest bunch you've ever seen. I guarantee you, honey, you go down there where he's got a robe on or she got a dress on, devil ain't going to tell you nothing but boy, how good it is to be here today. But the while, every time there is an operation of heaven, there's opposition of hell comes along. And boy, the devil will try his best to get you out of where you're supposed to be. He'll do it. He'll say, that preacher don't like you. Listen to that preacher. He's mean. You've got to have a little backbone about you. That's what's wrong with our churches now. The world's took them over. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad we got folks around here got guts. Wiles of Satan. He's a looking devil. And then, and notice not only do you find here where he shows up, is he a looking devil, but you'll find out he's a low devil. Verse 14, the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, what did he do? He came to the woman in the garden. Because you've done this, you're cursed above all cattle. Above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. He's a low devil, buddy. It's amazing to me how a woman can put her baby in a dumpster. He's a low devil. It's amazing to me how a man can walk off and leave a wife and youngins in the house of God. You know why? Because he's a low devil. And let me tell you better not turn your little halo up too high, honey. Because there's something me and you got wearing around here called flesh this morning that'll get us in more trouble than we can get out of. I done found out all of me ain't saved. He's a low devil. Just because the leadership of this church is doing right this morning don't mean they can't be caught up in a crisis next week. He's a low devil. Thank you, Brother Tim, for how you prayed. Don't let our preacher fall. These little old babies coming around giving that bucket this morning. Honey, you don't think the devil wouldn't like to see your pastor fall on his face? Them little old young'uns say, Brother Adam, where's our preacher? He's a low devil this morning. And he's no respecter of persons. You play with sin, before long sin will play you. You play with fire, you're going to get burned. You lay with dogs, you're going to catch their fleas. Young people, you can't ride around with them drinking, smoking their dope unless you partake of it. Don't you think you're impenetrable, bulletproof? You're not. You're human. Wiles of the devil. Boy, he's a looking devil. He's a low devil. And you know something? Over there in the book of Job, chapter number 1 and 2, you'll find out he's a legal devil. Ain't this amazing that God thought so much of some of his youngins? He said, hey, devil, you thought about my preacher over here named Job? He said, oh, yeah, I done been over there. Said you got Doberman pinchers all around his house. I can't even get in the fence. He said, I tell you what. Said, I done collared them dogs now. Said, you jump over there and get in the fence with him. It'll be all right. Just don't touch his body. And boy, the devil become a legal devil. Let me tell you this morning. If the devil comes around you, it's because it's legal. God's allowed it too. Let me tell you, the devil's no more than a puppet on a string. Hey, he's God Almighty. He ain't half mighty. That's an oxymoron. That's like jumbo shrimp. Makes no sense to me. He's God Almighty. Boy, he's a legal devil. And then over there in the book of Jude, you'll find out that they was disputing over the body of Moses. Moses was a great leader. He died. No doubt them Baptist folk wanted to take and put a shrine up there and worship their leader. Like some of you do. Like some of you don't come to church when you find out he's preaching revival. Like some of you got preacher religion. When you find out the man of God's out of town preaching, you say, well, we're not coming because Brother Ken ain't there. Who are you worshiping this morning? He's disputing over the body of Moses. Watch this. Michael the archangel said, the Lord rebuke you. He's a lethal devil. Buddy, you no match for the devil. Don't you think for one second, Daddy, you can handle the devil. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He's a lethal devil. But boy, I found out over there in John chapter 20, verse number 11. He's going to be a lake of fire devil. Thank God. No more devil. We sang going to heaven, that's something worthy to shout about. No more devil. In the beginning, oh, we see there is the work of the sovereign. There's the wooing of the Spirit. There's the wiles of Satan. But then, fourthly this morning, early closing, you'll see in Genesis 2, there's the wages of sin. Genesis chapter number 2, you'll find out that the will of God was resisted. He said in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse 15, look what God had to say. The Lord God took the man, Adam, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And he said, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And he knew exactly what he was saying. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the wages of sin. There was a great fall happened in the garden. We see now in Genesis 3 and verse number 16, notice this, they have failed. God said you can have anything in that garden but one tree. Oh my, ain't it amazing? The devil come by and pointed that thing out. Isn't it amazing? The devil never shows you what you got. He just shows you what you ain't got and what you can't have. Isn't it amazing? He'll never, amen. He'll just show you that pretty girl over yonder, but he won't show you the one you got down there you've been married to 30 years. I feel a little preach boiling up in me this morning. He won't show you what you got. He'll just show you what you ain't got. Is this a perfect church? No. But I think it's one of the best in the South. I tell you why it ain't perfect. Because of you and me. I'm hunting a perfect church. I hate you stopped here. Well, what are you saying, preacher? The will of God was resisted. Verse 16, now they have failed. The woman gave the tree to the husband. He submitted. Now they're plunged to total depravity. The Bible said in Genesis 3, verse 16 now, you'll see that the will of God was resisted. To the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow. And thy conception and sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That hadn't changed neither, ladies. The will of God resisted. The word of God rejected, verse 17. And Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, has eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Don't be looking for a lot of heaven down here. Verse 18, the way of God resented. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Isn't it amazing? They was in a garden, but they sinned. It took them out of a garden and plunged them in a total depravity. You know what their problem was? Their problem was what our problem is. They had a tree problem. You know why your children act wrong? You're not going to like this because it's a tree problem. You know, a lot of people look up that family tree. I don't like what they found on mine. Oh, I see y'all turning that halo way up there this morning.
But oh my, I tell you, we all got a tree problem. It all goes all the way back to the garden where Adam disobeyed God. That fall went. You know something? This sin now is universal. A lot of people say, well, I'm going to leave from America and go someplace else. You know what? You'll find sin there. It's not a family. It's not a kingdom. There's not anything where sin is not this morning. You know something? You don't have to teach your young'uns to lie. You don't have to teach them to steal. You don't have to teach them to throw a fit. Boy, it's quiet, ain't it? My little old grandbaby is here. And yes, she's prettier than your grandbaby. That's exactly right. Because she's my grandbaby. Everybody's crow's the blackest. Don't you know that? But you know something? My wife said something this week. She said, I don't know what we're going to do to this baby. She started doing something. You know what she started doing, brother? She started hitting people. She said, how are we going to stop that? I said, you didn't have to ask our young'uns how they was going to stop. You tear them britches up. And then the nice Mimi she is, she said, well, you think she'll understand? I said, oh, yes, she'll understand. The wages of sin. Boy, isn't that amazing? Paul said, the things I want to do, I just can't find myself to do them. Let me share once you come. Isn't that amazing that a lot of times the best that our flesh knows to do is awful? It's so important as a child of God that we listen to the Spirit of God. He said, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And this morning, we've seen the words of the Sovereign. My, what a God we have. Amen. That's seeing about us. Yeah. Nothing takes Him by surprise. Aren't you glad you've got a God this morning that loves you? That can see you through everything. Young family, you don't have Christ in your life. What are you going to do when Christ sees come? Because they're coming. You'll not escape this trouble coming to your house. But I have found just what my wife said last night to a young lady. I have found that whatever comes, that God will see you through that crisis. I'm glad I've got a God that sees in the dark. He knows everything that we need. Oh, we see the words of the Sovereign. We see the wooing of the Spirit. We see the wiles of Satan. And we see the wages of sin. But soon as Adam was plunged out of that, God said, Adam, where art thou? We see the way of salvation. The Bible said that He took clothes and He clothed them. Isn't that just like God when He ought to threw us out and stepped on us? That He called our name. Adam. And not only did this way of salvation did God call, but God convicted. Where art thou? How many times has that convicted me? Where art thou? Where are you? Where are you in this with God? He called to Him. He convicted. But then, I want you to notice this. His conscience didn't run to God. He said, I hid myself. But God came to him. Aren't you glad when you was a running from Him, you bumped right into Him? And He gave you hope and He gave you a chance. And all you had to do was reach by faith and trust Christ. Not only did He call him, not only did He convict him, not only did He come to him, but the Bible said that He clothed him by skins, by the sacrifice of another. You know, when God told him, He said, the wages of sin is death. He said, listen to me, boy, when you sin, it's going to bring forth death. God kept His word. Something had to die. His Son died in your place. It died in my place. Blood was shed. It's still the blood this morning. You listen to me, young families. You listen to this old preacher. This world will tell you it's not the blood. And you just work and do the best way you can. That's the biggest lie the devil's ever told this morning. You must be born again. You must trust the finished work of Calvary's cross, where God killed His Son. He may clothe you in His righteousness. Sister sung this morning, I don't understand this thing about grace. It's amazing to me. Instead of death, God give me grace. Isn't that amazing? You know what y'all do this morning? You ought to clear your spot out. And you ought to say, God, I want to thank You for what You've done for me. I want to thank You, God, that You've clothed me. God, where You should have kicked me out, You come to me and You clothed me. And God, I want to get my family just as close to You as I can get. Won't You listen to His voice? Where art Thou? Where art Thou? This altar's open. Brother David, y'all just mind the Lord this morning. You stand with us all around the house.